Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, bro?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And we are back together.
The dynamic duo. Barry, I feel like we have spoken since we were last on mic together, but I feel like I haven't really, like, gotten to, like, talk to you in such a long time.
I know. It's like we live two different lives. It's
since the last time we recorded together, they announced the Miami cast. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to talk about that. They announced Dubai, which, like, wow. I know you talked with Chris about that on last Monday's episode. Beverly Hills is over. They're already filming. We have a new house. You know, there's so much happening. And, you know, but then also, like, Salt Lake City is now popping the fuck off. I want to know, like, I don't know how much Bravo has their, like, scheduling shit together.
Right.
But the fact that Beverly Hills concluded on Thursday and then this Sunday and next Sunday are, like, the episodes we've been waiting for since Jen Shah got arrested.
Right.
It really could not be better timing. We have Ultimate Girls Trip.
It's the holidays time. Like, that's what we all want.
I know. I know. It's like Christmas came early, truly. We also have, I think next week, All Stars, a.k.a. Ultimate Girls Trip, begins. So, like, there's just a lot coming down the pipeline. Heather Dubrow is posting new confessional outfits. You know, OC is going to be
coming
soon.
It's a lot. Everything. It's too much. Like, I need like, a vacation, but...
Did you see the photo? I reposted it of Sheree filming yesterday, wearing this, like, gigantic fur coat and, like, brown, like, thigh-high boots, and I...
She could have gone to Mary's Italian cooking class.
Yeah, she wore, like, she did the assignment better than Whitney did, for sure. But, like, Atlanta was in New York filming this weekend. They saw Candy's play that she produced on Broadway. Southern Charm is filming.
Like, how do they have so many camera crews? Like, how many people are on the payroll? But anyway, Dylan, how was your time off? I need to know, what was your peak and pit of your time off?
My time off was lovely, thank you. I really didn't do a lot, like, in terms of, oh, you had a week off, like, did you go somewhere, did you blah blah blah, like, no, I really took the week to just kind of, like, rest and recharge. I got, like, a few days behind on some of my Bravo shows, which is, it never happens because we're always recording these episodes within, you know, a day or two of when the shows are on. So, like, I still haven't watched last week's Vanderpump Rules. Obviously, I will, like, today, because we have to watch the new episode.
Right.
But it's like, wow, I'm, like, 6 days behind on a Bravo show. And
did
I feel
you,
like,
sleep?
I didn't sleep as much as I maybe should have. I kind of was, like, I feel like the first half of my time off,
I was in that like school's out for summer mindset of like, I can stay up as late as I want, but then I'm not good at sleeping in. So it's like, okay, you're up until 2:30 and then you still wake up at 8:30. Right. And it's like, oh, I'm not actually, that wasn't 8 hours.
But the good thing about that is that you didn't have to wake up and go to work and do work, go to work. Like you could just like,
yes,
stay
I was
in
like,
bed.
I was like waking up, you know, watch a movie, go for a walk, see a show. Mm. I saw some shows, like very, it was like a nice week.
Love it. Well, to bring you back, we're talking about a second part four reunion.
Yes. And I feel like this one, when they announced that Potomac was going to be four parts, it was a little bit like,
why?
Okay. So I think Potomac.
We know why.
Right. And I'm assuming that it's basically going to be kind of a standard three-part reunion with like a Nikki episode.
Right, I think.
Part four. And Andy doing the big fake out tells all the women that
I didn't
she
like
really
that.
Wanted to. It was a little bit like, it was extremely on the nose, given the fact that we all know that she's there. It's like, it was like, okay, I don't really want to watch these women be like low-key disappointed about Nicki Minaj not showing up.
It reminded me of like your parents, like, not trying to ruin a surprise party that they're throwing for you. But they're ruining it by saying something.
Right. They're like, okay, so kids, like, we're not doing presents this year. Sorry. But we'll do something next year
and
instead.
Like,
and then you wake up
later,
in the morning.
Guys,
yeah.
Guys, presents.
But, yeah, this season of Potomac, I felt like it was a solid, entertaining season. But it wasn't, like, super explosive. Last season, obviously, we had the Monique and Candace fight, the, you know, giant rift in the group.
Yeah.
And this season it was like there wasn't anything really happening in that big of a sense. I thought it was just a normal you know, Potomac doesn't have bad seasons, but the first part of the reunion, I felt like the first half was sort of slow, and then when Andy started grilling Candace, things picked up a little bit. But
like, he like kind of shocked me a little bit with that. I was like, whoa.
I was thinking, so after watching the Beverly Hills reunion, I felt like Andy sort of was more engaged than he has been in a while. And I was talking to Sean, our lovely producer, about this morning, that I'm wondering if Andy sort of got some feedback about some of his more recent reunion performances. And that it seemed like he was almost neutral to the point of not caring that much or not being, you know, obviously when you're a moderator, you want to be fair and you want to be sort of unpacking the whole situation. But at the same time, that doesn't always mean that you can't tell someone they're wrong or you have to be 100% neutral. Like, being fair and being neutral aren't necessarily always the same. And so I like that in this part, he really was drilling in on Candace a little bit because I felt like she deserved it.
Well, and also the fact that he brought up the fact that he was getting tweets being like, why aren't you firing her? But you know what that reminded me of? Which is funny because New York didn't have a reunion. Because multiple people brought up to everyone why Ramona wasn't getting fired. But we'll see what unfolds with that anyway.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, And I think Candace is sort of missing the point because she's like, oh, well, like, everybody wants everybody to get fired. And of course, there are people that are out here, fire Giselle, fire Wendy, all of this. You know, you're on TV. A lot of people watch the show. People have their own opinions. But Andy is trying to tell her, people want me to fire you because of specific wrong things that you're saying and specific things that they think you're out of line for doing this. And she's like twisting this in her brain to think, well, these people don't like me because I'm better at the game than Mia, than Giselle.
No.
I'm better at throwing shade. I'm more of a, you know, I'm thinking on my feet more.
Because I'm better at it.
Right. And I love that Karen in that moment is like, nobody is better at this than Giselle and I. Let's let's be clear. And I think this is exactly right. I think Candace is very good at the game of being a housewife. I think she always brings it on the show.
Right.
I personally, you know, there are things that she says and does that I really rub me the wrong way, but I do think she does a great job on the show. But let's be clear, nobody on Potomac is doing it like Karen and Giselle. I think they are...
because they have a good banter.
Right, and I think they both... they have that frenemy relationship that is so rare to find and sustain where
Candace is just mean as fuck.
Right. Karen and Giselle are always going to go through their ups and downs. I think at the end of the day, they respect each other mm-hmm. and they get each other, but they know that, I mean, they are professionals on this show.
Mm.
And I think Karen and Giselle know that the more they kind of have this back and forth, the more it's going to produce the goods that we want to see on TV. And I love that. Whereas Candace, as much as I think she is great on TV, she doesn't have that, like, that moment where it's like, okay, pull it back. This is a show. We don't want to burn the bridge too much, you know?
Right. And Andy kept telling her she's the common denominator. Like, you... are though.
Right. Nobody is saying that Monique should have dragged her or that I wish Mia had hit her after she threw the salad. They're saying that at a certain point, you can't be surprised or so shocked that people are having these reactions when you're the one bringing right. it to the brink of that.
I honestly loved when Giselle was like, I mean, I'm just saying, if Mia did end up like hitting you, well... I'm not going to say you didn't deserve it for what you said. She's it like, well.
It makes me think of Lala's iconic, are you trying to get popped? And honestly, with Candace's behavior, sometimes it's like, are you trying to get popped? Like somebody, if you step to the line enough times, at you know, sooner or later, somebody is going to step back. And I think that's what happened last season
with
Monique. And it feels, it's frustrating that Candace can't sort of take a step back and think, okay, even if it wasn't justified what she did to me, maybe I played a part in that. And she clearly cannot have that thought.
No, not at all. But I do have to say, let's like backtrack a little just because this was such a minor detail where they kept coming for Giselle about her style and uh-huh. that it has improved a little bit. And
depending on who you ask,
but we found out that she has had the same stylist forever. And that bond she has with her stylist is not going anywhere, clearly. But the fact that Candace at that moment jumped in and she was like, she doesn't agree with all of Giselle's fashion choices. And Giselle was like, that's okay. I don't agree with all of yours. And Candace goes, this was the part, Candace, that I like, where Candace goes, right. But what works for me works for other people.
I honestly like I do I think it's funny all the Giselle fashion comments, like I think they're, you know, it's funny, but I also think Giselle should wear whatever she wants to wear, and I
Giselle
like the
is
fact
a stunning
yes
woman,
but I like that she has this attitude.
Yes.
That she literally is like, okay, keep talking about my clothes. I don't yes. care. Like, I wear what I want to wear. I don't actually
because guess need... what? They're still talking about it.
Right. And Giselle is the star of this TV show who, you know, has all of this stuff going for her. She hosts another show on Bravo. None of mm-hmm. these women can say that. And she's like, yeah, I wear what I want to wear. I don't need Karen's approval right. on my wardrobe. And... I think what this cast does so well is that they have all of this kind of like shady back and forth banter with each other and Giselle's clothes. And I will say, I think Mia had a good performance on part one of this reunion. And one thing that I found kind of annoying about her during the season was that she was always kind of getting in other people's business mm-hmm. and sort of poking her head into things that didn't concern her. But I think that same quality on a reunion couch actually can kind of be a good thing to a certain point, because Mia is like, she's very quick on her feet. She will say whatever comes to mind. I think it's funny a lot of the time. And so when you're on the reunion and it's like, you know, she's making these comments about whatever's being talked about, that's kind of like the the lively, like, back and forth that I want to see at a reunion. And I think Mia was kind of bringing that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Mia, when you said performance, I thought you meant, like, her responses just now of, like, what she was saying. But I have to say, I thought the questions Andy was asking her and everything, she was answering them full out. Like, she was not hiding anything. And everyone was like, well, why didn't you say that? Wait, why didn't you? And she was like, well, no one asked me that during the season. Like, I was a stripper.
Yeah. Look, I always think it is one of the dumbest things on Housewives when somebody is getting accused of being a stripper or this is something so scandalous. The thing is, first of all, who cares? There's nothing wrong with being a stripper.
Not to mention, also, stripper talk is one of my favorite things to watch on TikTok.
Oh, yes. Yes. When they count the money.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. You would do it too for a check.
Or maybe not.
But it's one of those things where
I meant not for a check. I would still do it.
It says so much more about the people on the other end who are so concerned about it. Because for Mia, I mean, whatever. Maybe she didn't keep all the details of the story the same from the beginning till now. But she clearly is not ashamed of her
and
past.
She shouldn't be.
And talking, and she's very open about the fact that it was not love at first sight with her husband. You know, he was one of these high rollers that was basically funding the club, it sounds like.
I don't know. It's a little blurry,
and that
over
the
there.
Connection for her didn't really come until later. And the fact that she's so open about that, she clearly is not shy. You know, she's talking about the investment situation, how she and her husband are linked business-wise, but he didn't necessarily, like, give her what she
has. Like, he didn't hand her the businesses.
Right, but it says so much more about the other women who are so concerned about, you know, what was she a stripper? What procedure did she have done to her
vagina?
That
annoyed me. Which that whole, like, conversation annoyed me.
The thing is, with plastic surgery, I feel like we're in this, like, loop of talking about how it doesn't, like, do whatever you want, just be honest, whatever. But it's like, then why are we having a 10-minute conversation about whether or not she had her clit done and did she have, were her baby's C-sections and was that part of a mommy makeover? It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't care. Like, even if I really didn't like Mia, which I feel like I'm sort of in the middle with her, like, there are other reasons to gossip about someone. Like, I don't care about what she had done.
It was very, like, not necessary and to ask if her kids were C-sections, to point out that they have sex missionary, so there's no reason for her to get her. Like, that was so over the line for me and, like, clearly not anyone's business. And, like, that just shows that you literally had nothing else to talk about besides, like, your concern over why she had the certain surgery done. And I love how she just sat there and kept her composure. She didn't give a shit.
Well, and especially coming from Wendy, who obviously has also been, you know, critiqued for what she's had done. And I think we're going to see more of that in the next part, maybe. But it's like, if Wendy is so annoyed with Robin and Giselle for talking about her plastic surgery, then why is she questioning Mia's plastic surgery? Like, it just is, it kind of is like this disconnect to me where in my mind, I'm just thinking, why don't all of these women realize that this is a topic where nobody actually has the upper hand on anyone else? Like, go argue about something else. Plenty of stuff has happened that you can.
Yeah, right. But also the fact that, like, they're judging. The reason, like, someone like Wendy, someone like me, I guess, when you come on the show, isn't necessarily open. Like, you're not gonna be like, yeah, I was a stripper, is because you're new and you're potentially worried that these women are gonna judge you. So the fact that now you are honest and you are getting the response that you knew you were going to get beforehand is what keeps women from being honest on these shows.
Right. And that it's not necessarily that she's worried about being judged because she's shameful. It's she's worried about being judged because she knows that these women are going to judge her.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like Mia. I don't know. I feel like toward the end of the season, I was kind of iffy on her. And I feel like I am now more of the opinion that I think she should come back.
Don't not like her, but I need to see more of her. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I wasn't like, oh, I can do without her, because I actually do want her to come back, like you just said, but I want her to be more of like a front runner.
I will say, I think the Potomac cast is maybe kind of unique in the sense that it feels like these women do actually all have real relationships with each other, maybe because they've all been on the show for a long time now, whether or not they're friends in real life. Ashley, Karen, Robin, Giselle, and even Candace at this point have all been there for a long time. But I do think in that sense, like, Mia still feels sort of like the newbie, which obviously she is. Yeah. It's her first season. But that I think in a season two, it would be interesting to see how her relationships actually form with these women versus her just kind of being the new girl who is kind of in that role in every situation. Like, it would be cool to see, does she actually get closer with Karen in a second season, or is there, you know, some conflict that starts to form? Like, that would be
something I would
be interested in seeing.
Want to see Escala as a full-time cast member, just saying. Okay.
I have no opinion on that, honestly. Escala, I think, is a beautiful woman who has not really done much for me. So I don't have an issue with her. I don't have praise for her. I see people on Twitter and, like, have friends and stuff who are like, we love Escala, and okay.
I feel like because she's always, we've talked about it before, where she's always just, like, there because they need another, like, and yeah. I like, kind of want her to be there. I feel like that she's the personality that, like, we need on the show.
Right. I do think it helps sometimes to have sort of a neutral party. But I would...
I'm laughing. You're like, I don't really care.
I will say, like, I want to hear from her more because I don't dislike her. I just feel like we haven't actually heard her perspective much. And I am sort of surprised that it seems like she's going to be at the full reunion, essentially. Like, they brought her in. They did the Kathy Hilton thing where they do kind of one segment without her, and then they're like, now we're joined by Escala.
Yeah, she came in a little early, if you ask me, for a four-parter. I was like, wait, are you going to is she going to be here the whole time? Who? First of all, I just have to say, Ashley looks so fucking good that it is like...
Ashley?
Oh, my God. Darby's Barbie.
You know, I threw up in my mouth a little bit, but damn it, she looks good.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, we must talk about Salt Lake City. I don't want to leave it any longer.
Oh my God.
This episode, so it was a 90-minute episode, and I believe next week is also a 90-minute episode. And I will say sometimes I'm a little side-eye when they do these long episodes because it means that whatever you actually want to see is going to be, you know, still just the last 10 minutes.
Not last night, honey.
Not last night. God bless, Jesus looking over Mary Cosby, that Italian lunch, cooking party, whatever, was one of the most chaotic, unhinged Housewives events because it was like, truly, I was like, what the fuck is happening at this table?
But I have to say two things. Last night on Watch What Happens Live, Andy said next episode is the top five most like intense episode of all Housewives. And also the fact that Lisa Barlow, it was her first time ever in the clubhouse. I think she's been on before, but whatever.
Yes.
Her demeanor was very bizarre to me. Like she was answering the question just in the every question she was asked, she was answering in the camera, not making eye contact anywhere. The way she was answering questions, she was like repeating the question, not like answer. She was very nervous, it seemed.
I haven't watched the full episode yet, but we're getting to the point in the season where up until now, when they've asked about the Jen stuff, they're kind of like, it was really crazy. It's going to be crazy. You'll have to wait and see. But now we're getting into it where it's like there are specific questions like, how did you feel when there was a fucking SWAT team outside your bus? And it's getting to the point where kind of like what happened on Beverly Hills, they're probably all thinking, okay, what is smart for me to say? What can I say?
Exactly.
I would be shocked if some of these women haven't spoken to lawyers.
She did. Lisa did. Yeah. Which, of course.
So I think it's going to be a little different in the next coming weeks about how these women are sort of handling these questions, because all of a sudden we have specifics to go on rather than just like, wasn't it crazy filming when Jen got arrested? And they're like, yeah, it was crazy. Wait and see.
I have to say, I'm not like oh my God, I love Mary Cosby so much. Like, she's my favorite. But I've always been, wow, she's a funny character. Like, that's what I feel. Last night, it's going to be a no for me. I am done. I am done with Mary Cosby. Yeah. I do not like her. And I tried my hardest
I think we're starting to see in Mary as Mary. Because last season it was this whole thing of that she was kind of separate from the group for a lot of it in the closet. And we're starting to see as she spends more time with all of these women
that she shouldn't.
The way she handles disagreements and the way she sort of speaks to people is not a way that is productive. It's not a way that is at all sort of, I think, like socially acceptable. Like she doesn't really seem to have a good sense of social norms in how she communicates with people. And I have a feeling that that's because in her day-to-day life, like at the church, nobody ever dares to speak up to her. You know, nobody ever talks back to her when they think she's literally from Jesus. So
that is nuts. I'm just going to like say it. That is fucking nuts.
And last week I wasn't here, so I didn't get to recap it, but that conversation that Meredith had with Cameron at the Fresh Wolf party, to me it felt a little bit staged, like,
well,
somebody,
of course, yes, we decided whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
But I do
enter
think,
production, which we love to say.
Right. Staged or not, I think it sort of set in motion a really important kind of plot line on the show that I don't know if we'll fully explore this season. But the conversation that Meredith had with Whitney sort of in the lobby area was this week was, I thought, super important. And like, I think that's going to be, you know, if we go into like season 2, 3 and Mary's whole thing becomes more of a main storyline, I think we're going to look at that moment and be like, okay, so Meredith has this piece of information that she got and the wheels are turning. And then Whitney has this piece of information and she has these questions. And now Mary is like, burning her bridge with Whitney when she says we're not friends, and Meredith and Whitney are kind of putting their pieces together. Like, I think for somebody like Mary, if she's in a position where she could potentially be kind of exposed, I think she should be a little more careful with not turning somebody like Whitney against her.
Well, okay, yes. And I know they're trying to be good friends. Like, that's why they kind of treat her like they walk on, like even Whitney was like, I love you, Mary, whatever. They're trying to be good friends. What other signs do you need to have to steer fucking clear of her? Like, and that, she is not reciprocating that behavior to you. She's not being a good friend to anybody. I want to talk in depth about this pasta making class, but because there's so much to unpack there. But first, I want to talk about this cryptic scene, almost is how I want to describe it, with Jen and Stu.
Jen and Stu.
Because it was so weird.
It is. Okay,
they were almost like saying goodbye. They were like prepping each other.
Well, so last week there was the scene where Stu was like on the computer and Jen was like, like, make sure you're working those accounts and like all of this stuff. And it was kind of like, okay, we're talking about the business. And then last night it was like, okay, we're getting a little serious. Jen's talking about how she's put her all into building these businesses and employing all these people so they
have food on the table.
Putting food
on people's tables.
And, you know, so she's missed out on her own kids. And it's like, it feels like we're like eulogizing this business empire.
Stu has been there through the good and the bad times.
And they're going to stick together. And I'm desperate to know when this was actually filmed. Like, was that, because I could see that scene being like randomly from a month ago and they were like, we're just going to show it on this episode. But either way, whether or not that happened, brilliant editing, putting this at the beginning of the episode, because of course, all of us, every single person watching this episode is like,
well, Taylor said it last week, actually, because Bravo has this tendency lately to be doing this, but she was like the Bravo editors work like beyond hard at this.
And even when Jen is packing for this fail trip that she's not going to get to go on, she's like, she's pulling out the coat. She's like, I don't know if Vail is ready for this. And it's like, turns out it doesn't matter because the coat's not going to see Vail.
It was very just weird. Like, and then they also started talking more about even their relationship and like, and it was uncomfortable for me, to be honest. Stu's even the one that like brought her on a Vespa to the cooking class. I was like, what is fucking happening?
I think it's become clear. I mean, we saw it last season, obviously, but I think this season maybe they've been more deliberate to put in these moments because of everything that's happened. They have this very codependent relationship.
Yeah.
And I think last season it felt more like, oh, he's her assistant that she kind of relies on for everything. And this season, it's more like, no, he's like her right-hand man in everything, in a way that feels not just assistant-y, but also like, you do my, like, I can't do this without you. Like, I don't think Jen can really, like, they're like a package deal, basically.
Well, and,
according to the investigators.
Yes. Yes.
But so, we'll get back to Jen, but so Mary is hosting this Italian thing. She's like FaceTiming everyone for the invites, which, first of all, this is a housewives trope, and Mary loves her FaceTime. The FaceTiming everyone in a row to invite
send a
them
group
to
chat,
something
a group is so chat.
Is so like contrived to me, because it's like, okay, I'm gonna FaceTime Mary, I'm gonna FaceTime Whitney, and it's like, ew, like, just send
and
a text.
And you're saying the same thing to every single person, and it's so much easier to get the details right. Like,
she clearly already has this, cute little invitation that she's designed with the stock photos of what they should wear. So I'm like, just send a text.
Right, and the thing that annoys me about her most is that what was really, like, evident this episode is that she thinks she is better than everyone, and in a way where it was like, wait, it's like, seems like it's actually an issue, even the point where like one of them was like beating their eggs, like she had an issue with that, but she's
right.
Like,
and she's saying like, I have to tell these girls what to wear, because if I don't, Yikes.
Okay, yes. She has said this before, and she's like, Italian street fair. Italian street fair. Italian street fair. I was like thinking of San Gennaro.
I'm going to come dressed as a mime.
Italian streetwear. And I'm like, so when she showed up, I was like, so who are you channeling, Mary? Like, what are you wearing? I'm confused.
When she said Italian streetwear, I'm thinking you're going to come in like a Fendi tracksuit or something. I'm like,
right, like, what were you wearing? I don't understand. Wait, Lisa Barlow was channeling Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, no, she absolutely was. My favorite look was Ms. Meredith Marks.
Oh, she looks chic in her
middle part, slick back little mm-hmm. bun situation, and this leather jacket with like a large cutout on the back. She looks so fucking chic. I think Meredith is like so hot. I think yes. the Marks family, yeah. collectively, the Marks family is like so hot.
They're very, very good looking.
Like, truly, it's truly like all Chloe? Five of them.
Hello.
All five of them. I would fuck all five of them. Not together, but like.
Well, that would be fun.
That would be.
And Teddy. And Teddy's even like the cutest dog.
I would not fuck Teddy.
No. I'm just putting him in the Marks family. But, okay, come on, Bella. I'm like, Mary, wait, stop. When Jen Shah was like, Mary, I will donate to your church, stop.
Even I don't know if you noticed, when she was FaceTiming one of the women, and they pick up the phone, she's like, ¿Cómo está?
It's like, it was so weird. She was like, I was like, yeah, what are you accents, even saying?
The accents were really cringe. You know, putting the names in Italian on the aprons when only half of them actually had names that translate.
And just put the women's name. It would be so much cuter.
I think she really just wanted to wear it. Like, she wanted to be Maria. I don't think she cared about anybody else.
Erica? Like, Heather's Erica? Like, what? Right, just like, put Heather.
Right, like, I don't think Meredith translates to Italian either. Like, none
also,
of
the Louis Vuitton bags.
Wait,
no. Why would I? I'm not getting them Louis Vuitton apron. Wait, so you just, like, had those are, like, the gift bags you had in your house?
But she gave them the Louis Vuitton AirPods last season, so I don't know why she's acting like these women aren't worthy of fancy gifts. But also, it's, like, Louis Vuitton, famously an Italian brand, you know? What are we even doing here?
I don't want anything like that from Mary. I don't, same thing like from Jet. Like, I don't want any
I don't want Jen's apology diamonds. No. I don't want Mary's monogrammed apron.
Well, no, the aprons, yes, but if it were to be like like design, like, I just feel like something's
right. It's like blood diamonds.
Not right.
It's like telephone fraud diamonds.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to talk about Whitney's invitation to the party, which was different than everybody else's because the timeline is a little murky. Basically, Mary's just mad that Whitney didn't pick up her FaceTime. She was doing carpool. Mary says that it took, 24 hours. But at the end of the day, Mary felt slighted by Whitney. So she sent her an invitation with the dress code of like slutty mafia. These costumes that she included.
It was like straight off the Party City website.
Right. And it's like, first of all, even if Whitney like took that direction, that's not actually what she was going to wear to this event.
But like, Mary got like mad when Whitney right. walked in. Like, she got, like, angry. And I'm sorry, that was very bizarre also. And she's like, basically she was like to Whitney, like, you basically, she disobeyed her, that she told her to wear that.
Because the thing is, if you wanted to say that that invitation was, like, a fun mm-hmm. prank way to get back at her for not answering her call, it's like, okay, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I still am not crazy about that, but right. maybe. But then if somebody calls your bluff on this costume thing and wears normal clothes, which she does, I thought she looked cute.
Yes.
Like, then it's like, oh, haha, like, you got me. You didn't wear, like, I wanted you to, like, wear this silly outfit and you didn't. Haha, now we're even. But it's like, Mary is like, she takes this as some kind of personal offense. And this is where we're getting into that dynamic of Mary is not used to anybody questioning her or disobeying her. And now it actually makes more sense when she got mad at Lisa for saying the thing about Googling the ovaries hardening because of the whatever.
Which, by the way, isn't true for those of you who didn't Google it.
Oh, yeah. Tiffany Moon debunked that. But
I
mean,
I knew it wasn't true the second she said it, but still.
To me, it sort of clicks a little bit because it's like, Lisa didn't do anything wrong. Mary is not used to somebody being like, I don't know if I believe this thing you just said. And she's taking it to a level. And same with Whitney. She's like, no, I told you what to wear. And the fact that you didn't do that is showing disrespect to me. When in reality, it's like, who would wear that?
Wait,
who would
actually
do that?
I'm sorry, that's weird. That's the only thing. Like, I'm like, that's weird that she got mad. And that, did she, what if Whitney actually, and Whitney was like, I have all these things. Yeah. I could easily whip this up. She's like, but
I can do
Mary,
slutty, but like, that's not the vibe.
Right. Mary would have laughed at Whitney's expense and like, tried to make a fool of her, which, by the way, I just wanted to ask you how you, like, where you stand with the FaceTime thing, because here's the thing. A bunch of my friends are moms as well. When people call me at a bad time, you're like, oh, I'll call them later, but then you forget. That could have very well happened with Whitney.
Yes, I agree. The actual timeline of, like, when the FaceTime calls were missed versus when this prank invitation were sent, it's like a little murky to me. But I think what it boils down to is it's all a little bit stupid because they're filming a TV show. This cooking party is a filming event for the show. Right. You know, it's basically like a work event for all of these women. And so at the end of the day, I feel like the FaceTime invite is more just like for the cameras. Like, they're in Mary's house filming and they're going to show her calling all the women. In my mind, that's not really how the details get nailed down. It's like, no, then you get the follow up with all the actual information.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, like, okay, she didn't pick up the phone. Like, maybe in some sense it would have been more courteous for her to give a timely call back. But like, who the fuck cares?
I know. It was just the blow up that she had, and she was like calling, she was like, little girl, and like her eyes were like opening wide, and she was like, Whitney cry. We've like never seen like Whitney cry like that.
Well, and the way Mary, so Whitney was like, you're treating me like a child, and Mary was like, I'm not treating you like a child, and then proceeds to call her little girl like six times. The actual invitation and that whole thing to me was like part one of this, but the more puzzling thing was how angry Mary was and how she wouldn't kind of back down, because at the end of the day, it's like, this was not a big deal. And then Whitney is saying, I just need to know, like, I feel like I've been here for you. I care about you. I love you, Mary. Like, do you value my friendship? And then for Mary to say, we're not friends like that, she's like, I mean, it just makes no sense how she's kind of tossing Whitney aside. And I think, like I was saying earlier when we were talking about it, I think this is the kind of thing that might come back to bite her, because we know that she has these skeletons in the closet.
Right.
And somebody like Whitney could have been on her team. But I think, you know, I don't know if that relationship is going to kind of come back.
Right. But also the way she was reacting to the fact that Meredith went out to see Whitney was also very, very bizarre. She was like, you don't care. And Meredith was acting so calm. I was like, I would not act as calm as these ladies, because Mary also is not a child. You don't need to speak to her like that. Like, Meredith was like, no, it's because you had the whole, I was just seeing. And I was like, no, well, tell her. You have the whole table. You were just mean to Whitney. I'm going to check on her.
Right. Like, Heather stayed at the table and was being very chill talking to Mary. The fact that, right, like, it's Meredith didn't pick sides. She just was like,
yeah.
Oh, Whitney's sitting out there. Let me go see what's up. And then, you know, they had their conversation we talked about. But I think, yeah, it's so, like, simplistic to be like, well, why did you go get her side of the story and not mine? It's like,
yeah.
Because it's a group scene and she was sitting over there by herself. And so I wanted to, like, bring her back to the group. But we also have to talk about Lisa and Jen's issues stemming from this Fresh Wolf party.
Yeah, blaming everything on your kids is not, like, the coolest route to go.
It's a weird look, because I think Jen, you know, as much as we rip on Jen, I think she's justified to feel a little weird about not being invited to this thing.
Especially
with her, you know, she said last week she has this connection to foster care, so it's something that she would have been even more interested in than just some basic party. And, you know, Lisa says that Jack made the guest list, which is like, okay.
That's so crazy. But then
at the same time, when they're like, why was Whitney invited? She's like, well, because I wanted to extend an olive branch. And it's like, okay, so clearly you had some impact on who was present at this event.
Right, and not her 9-year-old making the list. But I loved when Heather was like, what did Jen do to get off the list? And better yet, what did Whitney do to get on?
To get on the list.
She is so fucking funny. I cannot handle it.
Also, when Mary is saying, I'm used to not being invited, my feelings weren't hurt. And Jen's like, well, mine were.
Jen actually was very calm during, I think, because she was like, whoa, Mary took the cake for this one, this episode. But she was just like kind of explaining her feelings to Lisa. And Lisa's the one that kind of started yelling and like getting out of control.
It actually, now that you say it,
she deaded it. She was like, that's it. That's it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Right. Because you're wrong.
It was kind of refreshing to watch Jen have a disagreement in a way that felt sort of normal.
Warranted.
Right. And that it wasn't, because we've seen so many times in the past her just erupt. And so it was kind of like refreshing to see her, you know, bring up that she had an issue with something and not just start screaming, because that's when, even if you start out being in the right, that's when you start to lose me, when you're just kind of ripping into someone for no reason.
Yeah.
And so it was like, yeah, but then of course, you know, we're never going to see Jen in the same light again.
I don't know. Okay, but I have to say, last week when Chris and I were recapping this, we were like, oh, I pointed out that this week it happened so quick. We are going to see it. That's the trailer. But we are both very worried in the sense that, like, are we just going to see the trailer again? And were we wrong? Holy shit.
I have to say, so I'm, a lot of the time we're skeptical about when they do these to be continued. It feels unnecessary. I actually love where they cut it off this week, because I think we got to see sort of all of this confusion and this, you know, build up. And I thought they did a great job of editing it. I was shocked how much footage they had of, like, when the police and all these people were there and they kept filming. But then next week, knowing that we're going to get to see the juxtaposition of Jen's arrest and whatever is happening with her, well, while the women are going to Vail, and so they're going to be like on this weird trip getting all these news updates, I think they kind of cut it off at the perfect moment because it's right before anybody figures out what is happening.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but when the women were chatting and like, what's, you know, like, where'd she go? I hope he's okay. Should we go? Should we go? And in the background, you saw the fucking feds and SWAT team one by one. I was like, oh my, that is the best scene I've ever seen.
Right, they're just chilling on the bus, like, waiting to leave. They're like, yeah, like, if I was being arrested, like, Dewey would want you guys to go party. And then you literally see, like, a Homeland Security officer.
Wait, Heather, what does HSI stand for?
Yeah.
They were like, Homeland Security Investigation. She's like, oh, okay. And then they realized
like, she's
quickly.
She's outside the bus like, I'm usually scared of the po-po. And it's like, Heather,
this
is
She's like joking
bad.
Around with them. She's like, what are you? Oh, the po-po's here.
The moment that sent a chill down my spine was at the very end when Heather is like, do you think I should call Jen and let them know that they're looking for her? And Lisa's like, I don't think you should do that.
Definitely not. Like, don't in... Heather, those are not regular police officers that you just saw. Hi. Well,
and watching it click for them at different times, that in that moment, it had clicked for Lisa that Jen was the one in trouble.
That but they were like, this isn't about Sharif.
But it hadn't clicked for Heather yet that Heather, you know, like... At least, like, Jen is the criminal. Jen is the one who's on the run. So if you're calling her to tell her, hey, they're looking for you,
you're now
like,
involved.
Right. And so Lisa is our, those, you
why
know.
Why is she calling Stu, though? Like, why are any of them calling anyone?
I know. Like, this is the moment where you sit there and wait to figure out what's going on. Do not involve yourself with
I needed to know why an NYPD officer was there.
Well, her, I don't know about NYPD, because she, obviously her case is in, like, the Southern District of New York, but I don't, but that's, like, a federal thing. I don't know. I mean, clearly I don't really understand why they needed so many people on the scene in general. Like, Jen is not, you know, hiding out with, like, a bunch of guns.
But they don't know that. Do you think that, okay, this is the part I was questioning so much. From the time she got the call, my heart was racing out, like as if I was watching a movie, even though I know what happened. From the time she got the call, figuring out the story she was telling everyone, which is that Sharif had, I thought she
internal
said...
Internal bleeding.
Internal bleeding. Who called someone, or how did she get in touch, or how'd they know how far away the person was to come pick her up? Was she not shitting in her pants at that moment, being like, what if I don't get out of here in time?
Right. And that's when Heather, you know, saw her outside the bus and she was talking and Heather's like, well, do you want to come on the bus and tell everyone that you're leaving?
Nope.
I was thinking in my head the whole time, I'm like, Jen wants to get the fuck out of there.
Wait,
like,
and Whitney, Jen, yes.
Jen trying to balance how do I not look like I'm freaking out with how do I get out of here as soon as possible. It was really tense. I wasn't necessarily expecting it to feel, like, knowing obviously what happens, I wasn't expecting it to feel as suspenseful and, like, stressful.
It was, but it was crazy because then they all did start to realize, like, Whitney goes, wait, she asked me to turn her mic off. Like, because they were like, oh my God. I love how last night, too, Chloe Fineman, obviously, who does the best impressions ever, was like, my favorite part was when Lisa was like, I am freaking out because she like wasn't, but this was just wild. And next week I'm even more excited, but I'm sorry, the even production was like, are you guys seriously thinking of not fucking going on this trip right now? Like, really?
Right. They're like, okay, so obviously we don't know what's going on either, but you guys need to go to Vail.
Why
please.
Would they ever not also, like, I'm sorry,
right?
No.
Like, well, and I can't remember who said this, but they're like, well, I mean, like, whatever's happening with her, we can't do anything about it. So let's just go on the trip.
Can she get a personal drive? Can they get a driver? And Heather was like, the fucking Shaw Squad. Someone can drive her. She has like 8 assistants. Someone can drive her to Vail.
Okay, I will say, Salt Lake to Vail is like a 6-hour drive or something.
I knew you were going to have this information for me. I needed to know. And I could have Googled. I just didn't feel like it.
It's not, I mean, it's like a drivable distance. But when I heard that Mary was flying private, I'm like, why? And then it's like, okay, yeah, it's kind of far.
No, but also why? Like, why couldn't Mary go on the bus?
Because Mary didn't want to be on the bus.
I know, but like, that would have been so fun. Honestly, I don't blame her, because I don't blame her in the sense where we've seen her in scenes where she clearly just doesn't do well in social situations, which is very ironic to be on this show, but.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think Meredith called the feds to the Beauty Lab parking lot because she wasn't even there.
Yeah. Well, that could be why.
Well, Meredith's busy in Aspen with her dad's memorial. Like, I don't think she's being like, okay, so the women are going to be at the Beauty Lab parking lot at 3:30. And if Jen is messing with my family, then
they,
I'm going to tell them.
No, she know. They know. So it has to come out who did it.
I mean, probably like 36 people know they're at the Beauty Lab parking lot. So I don't think it like needs to be Meredith.
I know.
Whatever.
I'm so nervous.
Fun. I'm already so like, nervous. Obviously, we're going to have 2 more episodes this week of this podcast, but I'm already like so excited for next week.
Do you want to just skip these episodes? You guys can watch the shows yourself. We're just coming back
Fuck
next
Winter
Monday.
House.
Next oh, Monday. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. And obviously, you guys, our Bravo Legal Hat team. What is wrong with me? Our Bravo Legal Team hat. And mug.
And the
are
mug.
Popping off. One already sold out. We had to get them back in really quick. Get on that so you can join our legal team.
Betches.co/Bravo merch.
You got it.
Tiffany Moon asked if we could make her a Bravo medical team one. And I was like, I don't know if that really has the same ring to it. But
but yeah, we'll work. I will work on it.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.